ESPN Daily is presented by Supercuts, the smarter, easier way to get a haircut. It's not just any haircut. It's Supercuts.
Well, Brian, forget about the reaction around the league. How about the reaction around Congress, which is not a phrase we often say, but in this particular case, it's relevant because one of the congressmen said today, in reading through all the allegations, it sounded like something that was out of The Godfather, not an NFL team. And that's what is surrounding the Washington Commanders organization that has dealt with its fair share of all sorts of controversies, from workplace conduct to now financial impropriety. And anytime you're talking about other money like this, everybody is waiting and watching to see what will happen.
If ever there was an NFL team that was going to be investigated by the United States Congress, it was going to be the Washington Commanders. From allegations of fostering a toxic workplace environment to sexual harassment to their long overdue name change, the franchise under owner Daniel Snyder is constantly in the news, and not for success on the field. But if previous scandals and offenses haven't seemed to move the needle enough for the league, now Snyder and the Commanders are under scrutiny for something we know the NFL cares about: money. So today, with politicians on Capitol Hill now digging into the team's finances, some are wondering if this is finally the scandal that could get Snyder kicked out of Washington for good. I'm Sarah Spain, in for Pablo Torre. It's Tuesday, April 19th. This is ESPN Daily. ESPN NFL reporter John Keim. So I have to start with, how long have you been on the Washington football beat, John?
Since 1994. So I think that's what, almost, I guess this will be 28 years. Oof. But I guess if you combine it with the last three, it feels like about 50.
Right. It does feel like over the last few years, there's been a new scandal surrounding the Commanders and owner Dan Snyder every time we open up social media. But for some reason, this latest one feels different. In a nutshell, what is being alleged this time?
So let's go back to the beginning. So the NFL investigated the workplace culture, the toxic workplace culture. In October, about, 4 or 5 months after the NFL concluded its investigation and fined the team $10 million, there were those emails involving John Gruden that came out. That led to, first of all, where were they coming from? And it led to, why haven't more of these documents been released publicly? Because in other NFL investigations, they were released publicly. So that led to Congress taking an interest in this investigation. They opened up their own investigation of what they considered Washington's toxic workplace culture. And Sarah, as part of that investigation, new allegations emerged from a former longtime team employee about possible financial improprieties. Congress then took that information and in a letter sent it to the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, whose job it is to investigate issues that impact consumers. And in a nutshell, what came out last week were allegations by a former team employee, longtime former team employee, that this team kept a second financial accounting book that they hid, where they hid revenue from the NFL. There were allegations about how they handled security deposits and in essence kept money away from consumers without them maybe knowing that they had security deposits to be refunded to them. That was all in a letter that Congress, the Oversight Committee, sent to the FTC, which takes that investigation up another notch. Then Washington responded on Monday with its own detailed rebuttal to the accusations by the former employee. And that's where we are right now.
You mentioned that this was a U.S. Congress doing the investigation here. That seems not normal, right? We're used to teams being investigated within the NFL or even in the world of sports. Remind us why Congress is involved here.
Well, first of all, the NFL did their own investigation of Washington's workplace culture. That concluded Last summer, on July 1st, they announced a $10 million fine and that owner Dan Snyder would be stepping away from day-to-day duties. Well, we move ahead to October, and then emails that were part of that investigation came out, and that was about what John Gruden had said in some of those emails, which eventually cost him his job with the Las Vegas Raiders as the head coach. And with this, there were a lot of the women who were interviewed as part of the initial investigation wanted this report to be released publicly. But as people probably well know, there was no written report. It was a verbal report given from attorney Beth Wilkinson to NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. But the women, again, wanted this released publicly. So at that point, Congress starts to get involved to investigate, why wasn't it released publicly? What was going out? What do the other documents say? If they have these emails implicating John Gruden saying what considered racist and misogynistic comments, what else was in there that they have? So they wanted to get the documents from the NFL and the team. And then, you know, a lot of members of Congress got involved for different reasons, what they hoped to get out of this, I should say. Some wanted to, you know, you want to work, they wanted to look into workplace culture. Could this lead to legislation about how workplace culture or workplaces should be conducted, et cetera? So that's what started all of this.
Yeah, members of Congress have said every time they speak to a witness, they learn something new, meaning they may be bringing in these women or other employees to discuss the allegations of a toxic workplace environment. But in the end, it has them asking questions about other things. As it stands, the result is that they initially were investigating this toxic workplace culture, and now they have, in speaking to employees, happened upon this story of financial impropriety. So let's start with who is bringing these allegations of financial wrongdoing to light.
It's Jason Friedman, and he worked for the organization for 24 years, 8 months. He started when Jack Kent Cook owned the team, and he continued to after Dan Snyder was bought the team in 1999, and he was fired in October 2020 by new team president Jason Wright, who had taken over 2 months earlier. And Jason Friedman was a senior executive in the ticket sales office, and he had tattoos commemorating the team on him. So he was a longtime diehard employee of this franchise.
So Friedman met with members of the U.S. House Oversight Committee as part of that initial investigation into the workplace culture, but he adds new allegations to the mix about the team's finances. Now, given his title and his long tenure with the franchise, it seems reasonable that he would know what was going on with the team's books, right?
Yes. And I think what they would say is to a point, because the one thing that the team spelled out in its rebuttal was he did not work in the accounting or finance department. So while he knew what was going on the ticket side, he wasn't always privy to meetings and discussions that were being held on the other side. And it's important to note that he was based at their stadium, which is in Landover, Maryland. And in the letter, they said that the financing and accounting offices were at their Ashburn, Virginia facility. So he wasn't always over there. That's why I say in their eyes, he was only privy to stuff to a point. But yes, he would have a lot of knowledge about what was going on with the tickets because that was his domain.
Yeah, Vice President of Sales and Customer Service tells the committee that there were multiple financial improprieties. Can you sort of give us the details on those?
Yeah, well, let's start with the security deposits. And in there, he alleged that they made it hard for customers to get their refunds, that they created extra hurdles that the customer may have to go through to get refunds on security deposits placed in the seats. Now, I think it was around 99, or it was shortly after Snyder took over that they stopped charging those security deposits on like club level seats, etc. So we're really only talking a few years where people put down those deposits. And what would happen is, unless the customer requested it, he said that they would not return it. Like if the tickets were handed down from family member to family member, perhaps the family member who now has the tickets didn't know that a refund was perhaps supposed to be coming if they were done with their tickets. Or if it was a work account, perhaps the name on there, the point of contact had changed, meaning that the new person may not have known that there had been an initial deposit as well, and that they would take that money and keep it. And according to him, it affected 2,000 customers, which totaled about $5 million. That was one of the allegations. And then another one was how they would basically misrepresent the tickets that they had for sale, and that they would tell customers that they didn't have general admission tickets for sale. Keep in mind, back then, there was the belief that Washington had a season ticket list, a waiting list of around 160,000 people. We later learned, and I think it was around 2018, they had no list. But they would tell fans that if you want to get off this list, you can't buy GA tickets, you have to buy club-level seats, which of course were more expensive. They would then take those GA seats and sell them to ticket brokers. So that was another accusation. And then the other one was in 2014, in one of his emails, he said that, or he was discussing something with Stefan Choi, who was a former CFO with the franchise, about additional ticket sales from a game that season. And in that game, that he charged people $55 for tickets, well, they were listed at $44. So he said they would take the $11 from each of those tickets, which totaled $162,360, and apply it to a Navy Notre Dame game that was held that same year. And they would do the same with a concert, a Kenny Chesney concert. So to back up 1 minute, teams have to share 40% of their season ticket, of their ticket revenue. So in essence, that money would have been hidden from the NFL. So that was another allegation. So those are some of the big ones of the improprieties that he was alleging.
So Friedman says the team is stealing money from ticket holders, lying about revenue to the NFL. So now you've got a double whammy there. You not only are angering the folks that work with you at the NFL, but also the fans, the paying customers that have probably been disillusioned by so many other things swirling around this Washington team over the last decade plus. What is the Washington Commanders side of things say about all these allegations?
Well, as you could imagine, it's very different. For example, on the example I just gave you about Navy Notre Dame, in that, the initial email that Friedman gave to the committee was from May. It went to Stefan Choi, again, the CFO. Choi then took that and started another email chain, according to this, to the team's letter, that included his accounting team. In August of that year, somebody from that department had put out an email that included Stefan Choi on there, and showed that they were placing that revenue from that game onto what they listed 14 Red Rev, which meant 2014 Redskins revenue. In other words, it wasn't placed on the Navy-Notre Dame game. It did go to a Washington NFL game, which meant it was then part of the shareable revenue.
So there are multiple points during this letter that the Washington Commanders has sent to Congress where they feel like they're responding to and properly defending their actions at each of Friedman's allegations. Are there any allegations that Friedman levied that were not addressed by this letter?
No, they were all addressed. And for example, in the security deposits, they included a letter that the team had sent in 2014 to fans alerting them that you may be eligible for a security deposit refund. And again, he had said that they create extra hurdles for fans to go through that made it difficult to get that. According to this letter, you had to check a box. Are you the ticket holder? And is this address still correct? Which then, of course, would mean that if you sent this in, and you could then be sent a refund to that address. So they gave you the address to send to. They also gave you an email address to send to apply for the refund as well. So that went to the point about the security deposits. And then there was also the selling up of the tickets. They claim that was Friedman's doing, that they didn't have any knowledge of that, and that, number one, it wasn't illegal because the league said you can sell the ticket brokers, but number two, that this was his doing. And when they found out that this practice was going on, they had to then go back and cancel a lot of the contracts that he had entered into with these ticket brokers, which of course then cost the team money because they had to go pay these brokers or for legal fees. So it certainly did not lead to what they would have hoped, which was more money. So yeah, they went one by one. It was a 22-page letter that also included 83 pages of signed affidavits from several former high-ranking officials, as well as texts and emails from Friedman to various people in the organization.
Coming up, what Roger Goodell and the rest of the NFL are making of the latest accusations against Washington and Daniel Snyder.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot. Taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Okay, so lots to unpack still here. Let's start with what the commanders are alleging would be the reason for Friedman to invent this or to tell Congress something other than what they're claiming.
Sarah, they're clearly trying to paint him as a disgruntled ex-employee, and they did include multiple documents of communication that he had with whether it was Jason Wright or other members or assistant for the Snyders, where he was basically trying to get a job back with the organization. As late as in January, he had sent an email to Wright asking about the possibility of maybe coming back to the organization in some capacity. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. And I don't know what his reasonings are. We've reached out to him and he'll refer us to his attorneys. But that's what they're saying. They considered it false, reckless, et cetera, as you could imagine. But his true motivations, I wouldn't know, but that's what they're saying is that here's a guy who was trying to get his job back and then a few months later is now talking to Congress.
You mentioned that the commanders had submitted a number of documents to back up their opinion on this issue. Did Friedman have a lot of evidence and proof of these allegations in his conversations with Congress?
He had the emails that showed the communication about these topics. So that's where his documentation is. And he said he had told one of his employees, Rachel Engelson, who spoke to Beth Wilkinson as part of the NFL's initial investigation into the workplace culture. She was one of the ones who allegedly faced sexual harassment. So she worked for Friedman, and he had told her, according to her, that he was keeping a lot of documents because he was afraid of what might happen, what he might be accused of down the road.
As seems to be the case with so many things involving this commander's team, it's very messy, John. We are getting lots of different points of views. And the NFL doesn't like any added mess. They've got plenty to deal with. So what are you hearing about how Roger Goodell, the league, the other owners, what are they feeling about just another round of allegations against Dan Snyder and company?
In the past, before this latest round, the feeling had been that the other owners would not want to set the precedent of doing anything with Dan Snyder to force him out. But I think we'd all be naive to think that people aren't tired of this, because it has been one thing after another, and it's not good for the league. This is supposed to be a hallmark franchise for the league. And this is a place where the season ticket base is really low. And the fans have made it known that they're displeased with this franchise, showing it by the attendance the last few years. I think in this case, though, we have to wait and see what happens. The NFL does do the audits of each team, and they're pretty thorough. And according to the team, all the books are subject to audits, meaning not just the NFL games at the stadium, but the concerts, the college games. So the NFL has all that information. So they may know more than what the committee does based on their own internal audits, and they can go back and check those. So I don't know how much they're concerned about this part. But, you know, listen, we all know that in the NFL, money talks. So if he's doing something illegal like this, or if the team is doing something illegal or had done something, because this was all alleged from the past, if that were the case, then certainly other owners would be upset. And I think the other thing, Sarah, to keep in mind is I talked to one attorney last week who had worked for the FTC, and his comment was, as far as going forward with Dan Snyder, were other owners doing this? That's what, and we don't know that, and we can't allege that. We don't know that. But I think that's where that could lead to, what do other owners think?
John, this is a good time to remind ourselves that this is an NFL team that is now being investigated by Congress, the FTC. This is strange. This is not normal. And you've been in Washington, so maybe you could tell us what's normal over there. Everything appears to be political. So are party politics a part of the reason that Washington has been embroiled in something involving our government?
Well, it certainly is breaking down along partisan lines, because the Democrats are firmly behind the desire to keep going with this investigation, and the Republicans are not. And they, you know, time and time again, you're going to hear the same thing. And really, you know this, that in Washington, it's always going to depend on who's in charge, because that changes the message. When you hear from the Republicans, it's about they should be looking into Joe Biden's X, Y, or Z, or that, you know, why is Congress looking into a business matter of an NFL team? Right? So you do get that. Now, the key here is, will there be a hearing? If there's going to be a hearing, it would have to be almost assuredly done by July 31st, because at that point, the politicians turn to the midterm elections. If this isn't wrapped up by then, if it continues, it would probably depend on who wins control of the House. Because if the Republicans win control, I doubt that they would continue looking into this situation at any level. The Democrats could try to keep it alive by continuing to investigate it on their own. It just wouldn't be very public. And they would have to hope that they could then regain control of the House at some point to push it forward. So you could be talking several years from now if it goes like that. But yes, it does break down along partisan lines. And I don't see that changing anytime soon.
So what sort of punishments or penalties might be levied against the commanders if they do pursue this further?
Good question. And I don't know that I have a good answer, because we haven't seen this before. What I do know is they were fined $10 million for the workplace culture. Since then, there was another allegation that against Dan Snyder, and that came out in February when Tiffany Johnston alleged that a roundtable session with Congress, different from a hearing, but a roundtable session, that Dan Snyder had put his hand on her leg at a dinner against her desire, and then later that night tried to force her into his limousine. Now, he was unsuccessful with that. One of the people who corroborated that was Jason Friedman. And now the NFL is investigating that allegation, because all the other allegations have been looked into by Beth Wilkinson's initial investigation. So Tiffany Johnson's allegations are new, and so the NFL is looking at that. If they find something more with that, then there could be further punishment. I don't know what it would be. Would it be a suspension? I don't know. Would it be an additional fine? I think that remains to be seen. And then again, if they find that this team was involved in these financial improprieties, again, which they strongly deny and refute, then there could be further problems. There has to be further problems, because you can't let something like that go. And again, money talks in the NFL. I just don't know what it would be go to. The last point here, Sarah, is that at the league meetings, Commissioner Roger Goodell said that Dan Snyder still is not back to running to the day-to-day operations of the franchise. That is up to his wife, Tanya, who is now the co-CEO of the franchise. So they never called that a suspension, but they continue to say that he's not running the day-to-day, and that before he could get back there, he would have to have a conversation with Goodell. So would they eventually get there if all these are found true? I don't know, but you would think it would be more than just what they got last time.
John, a lot of folks scoff at the idea that Dan Snyder is not currently still engaging in day-to-day operations. A lot of people also scoffed at the fine of $10 million. If the internet is right, which it rarely is, Dan Snyder is worth about $4 billion?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so $10 million, a slap on the wrist for years of allegations of toxic workplace. It feels...
To be clear, the fine was levied against the franchise and not him. But yes, it was his workplace culture that was created.
So understanding that there were dozens of women alleging toxic workplace environment, and the result was what feels like a slap on the wrist... is this different because it's financial impropriety, because it affects the bottom line potentially for other owners and for customers?
Possibly. And I think going back to the workplace culture, one of the things the NFL said, that the reason why they kept it to $10 million is because they felt they had taken a lot of steps to correct the past behavior. A lot of the people outside of the owner who were accused of contributing to this culture were let go or no longer worked for the franchise. And they put in new structure within the organization to improve that. So the NFL was pleased with that part. So I think that could limit some of the impact there. But as far as the financial, yeah, I think in the NFL, again, the money always talks loudest. And one of the things, again, prior to this, that you would hear from people who were tight with the owners, they'd say that they were probably more concerned with the Stan Kroenke lawsuit, the payment for the relocation fee from St. Louis, because that could affect their pocketbooks. So they were more concerned with that than they were with the allegations against Snyder. That was a bigger topic in private meetings, et cetera. But I think if there is a pattern of this, which again, the team provided, with the letter they sent, they make it clear that this is inaccurate. But if the FTC decides there is, and the NFL decides there is, well then, yeah, I think there would be more trouble. So I don't know. I think there's a lot to learn still on this. Unfortunately for fans and anybody else, there's probably a long way to go in this whole mess.
Coming up, we look further into that mess and whether it could spell the end for Dan Snyder's time in Washington.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured, it was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo, another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
So a reminder that these allegations from Jason Friedman are still just allegations. We do not yet know if they are true, but for the sake of argument, let's assume they are. Why would the team do this? There's so much money in the NFL to be hiding away what you've mentioned in some instances is $162,000. That seems ridiculous.
Well, I'll tell you what, Sarah, I actually heard that same phrase from somebody who works for the team. Why would we do this? That's what he said. So, because when you look at it, for example, the Navy Notre Dame, with the game where they applied the money to, allegedly applied it to the Navy Notre Dame game, it's $162,360. 40% of that, it's not a lot of money when in the grand scheme of things. So would you really risk this over that? That's what they also said. So that was, it almost was to prove their point, like, why would we do that for that much money? Now, Friedman said that it happened at other times too. So it would be definitely more than that, but we're not talking like millions and millions of dollars that they could benefit from, according to the team, certainly. And so, but yeah, they asked the same question.
How do you see this all panning out? I know for you, it's probably many more stories and late nights, but for the team and for the NFL, where does the story go from here?
For me, I don't know. I might be checking into someplace relatively soon with all this.
Right. Do you remember your family?
I don't remember my name. So I think where this goes, I can only go step by step. So it's at the FTC right now. And I'll be curious to see if we hear from the FTC at all, if they're not going to do it, if we hear that somehow that they toss it out, well, then you can still just move on to the congressional stuff, which is still about the workplace culture and why there wasn't a report released. That part is going to keep going because the Democrats on the Oversight Committee are motivated to keep that going and to find out more. So even if the FTC says there's nothing there, Congress will still keep going. And then it's a matter of, do they get to a point where they hold a hearing? That would be the next big step. But I don't, again, I gave you that July 31st deadline for it. And it wouldn't have to be some week-long spectacle. They only need like a day or a half a day to really do this. And I believe now that Snyder, for example, if he is deposed, could do it via Zoom. So you don't get the cameras and the spectacle that would entail if it was there in person. But that still remains an option. When I ask people on the committee if it looks like that's where it's going, they'll always say that's one of their options. There are other things they can look at or other things they can do, keep doing. They just want to continue to get whatever documents they can to see if it needs to get to that point.
So my memory probably won't allow me to remember all the things, but beyond the toxic workplace environment and the sexual harassment allegations, you got a stadium that's falling apart, a railing collapse involving fans and a quarterback. You've got a fan base that went from fanatical to not showing up on Sundays. And now you've got these allegations of financial impropriety. It kind of feels like no matter what we pile up in the argument against Dan Snyder's fitness as an owner in this league, he's sort of unsinkable. Is this possibly the thing that could finally get the NFL to act?
Possibly. And again, it depends on how do the other owners interpret all this. And I do think that, listen, he was not beloved before all this. I talked to somebody shortly after all this stuff came out who said at that time, he thinks the other owners would want him out. This was 2 years ago. But they also knew that kicking somebody out or voting them out for the reasons they would at that time, whether they didn't like him, they didn't like his practices, they didn't like his personality, whatever it was, they knew that that would be setting a really bad precedent. And so that's why he remains an owner. And, but if more stuff comes out and if they are found to have done illegal activities with their books, again, as they strongly deny, then, yeah, I think that would put him in more trouble than it was a couple weeks ago. I think we need to see more of the evidence that comes out. Does Congress or does the FTC find somebody else who has documents that prove more of what Friedman is saying? I don't know. That's what I think it would take at this point. I'm going to stress, I don't know where this is heading. And I just know you kind of go each step along the way and you try to process the information you have. And then I know that more stuff will probably come out at some point because that's what's been going on here. And if it does, then we have to react and see what that new information might mean.
John Kimes' latest story about the letter from the Washington Commanders laying out the case for why they should not be investigated for these financial improprieties is up now. I guess you should get some sleep before the next thing hits. Do it now before it's too late.
I don't know. I'm not sure I feel comfortable sleeping right now, I'll be honest.
One eye open.
There you go. Thank you.
I'm Sarah Spain. This has been ESPN Daily. Pablo will be back tomorrow.